Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva again has the skus that Rabbi Solberger will be speaking to us. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Valley High School in Los Angeles. And he's each year Rosh Yeshiva's gone there. And I even heard that this year, despite his very busy schedule, he actually sat in with the Bachrim, which is a big hizik for Rabbi Tagger's efforts. I want to thank him. And he speaks on Matzav, if you ever want to hear his drushes, and has Talmidim all over the place. So it's for us who've already heard him speak, it's a big hizik, and I want to thank him.
Thank you so much, and it is a pleasure to once again visit this very choshem makom Torah. I did have a lot of anah. I mean, I didn't do it, although I'm glad that the Rishiva felt happy about it, but I really did it for myself. It was an incredible presentation, and Baruch Shem, he had the Talmidim transfix mamish for half hour, which teenagers in L.A., to hold them for a half hour, that's a pretty good kayak. Baruch Hashem. So you have special people around. That's a wonderful bracha. Parshas Yisro is coming up very soon. And maybe just to sort of get into an idea or an explanation of a concept that certainly we are very familiar with, but maybe to sort of delve into it a little bit deeper. Because certainly two words that, even though we have them articulated in the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim, essentially they happen by Matan Torah. We know that these two words that have reverberated throughout Jewish history as maybe the two greatest words of all time. Two words that got the Malach HaShoreis, that sort of motivated the Malach HaShoreis and so astounded them, where they said, "Mi Gila Rozeh, who revealed this incredible secret of Nasa Mishma to these people?" Two words that clearly manifested something extremely unusual about the insight and the clarity of the Jewish people. Nasa v'nishma, these are amazing words. And this is the parsha where it all happened. And what's amazing is that same Nasa v'nishma, if you don't really appreciate it, don't really understand it, the Gemara in Shabbos, we know the Gemara in Shabbos, where Rav is harving in a Shara Taisvis, he's working on some sugi in Baba Kama or in Ksubis, and he's got some string that's wrapped around his finger, and he's shuckling away, and he's involved in the sugi, and as he's shuckling, the string gets tighter and tighter and tighter till he starts bleeding. And a tzaduki walks by and sees Rava learning with his bloody finger, and he says, "Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense, you guys, you Jews. I'm a pazizah," he calls him. You're an impetuous people. You're just fast on the draw. He says, "You're the same people. You come from your genes, your DNA, Rava, comes from a people that put their mouths before their ears. Before they even know what's going on, before you even know what you're committing to, you said, Nasa v'nishma." So clearly you're superficial, clearly you don't really get it, clearly you're not a thinking person, and that's the same type of so impetuous, so quick, and so involved in not being aware of your surroundings that you would, it would make sense that you would tie, you would so be involved that you wouldn't notice that your finger is bleeding. So which one is it? Is Nasa v'nishma the Migila Rosa? Is Nasa v'nishma the incredible eye-opening statement that clearly needs to be explained? Well, what makes it so special? Or is Amma Paziza? Or is Nasa v'nishma an indication of an Amma Paziza? A sort of superficial, impetuous, fleeting type of sort of running very quickly to do things without real analysis, without probing the depths of what you're involved in. And of course we know the second is true. The second is true because as Rava answered him, you don't get it. You don't get it because you clearly don't have the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you can understand where Nasa v'nishma is coming from. And clearly you don't have that bitachon because you yourself, he says, you're a dor ikesh. You're a crooked, you come from a crooked people and you come from a crooked way of thinking. And that's why you can't project perfection and beauty and love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you can't find it in yourself. But Tumas Yisharam Tanche. We know that the complete people, the simple, holy, whole people, who are not blemished, who are not coming with any type of agenda, and you look at the world with honesty and integrity, then you'll grab that opportunity. Of course, you'll grab that chance to see the MS, to embrace the MS coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is some of the sort of the two sides of the coin. Do you have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you're able to project that love that He clearly feels for us? Or are you somebody so crooked that you're not able to get yourself to commit? But let's maybe take another level. Because what exactly, listen, if you think about it, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to offer you the Torah. Is there any question that you're going to accept the Torah? You're going to say Maksivbe? We're going to fall into the trap of the Goyim who asked Maksivbe? So I think maybe to help us understand this greatness of Nasa V'Nishma and what Rava really was articulating and manifesting by his total immersion in Torah. And that's really what was his, and we know even, we read stories nowadays about Gedolim, their immersion in Torah was so intense that sometimes they were not aware of certain things. We can debate, should they be aware, shouldn't they be aware, but it's an interesting debate. But certainly we see that when a person is completely in that sugya and a ragatun and learning, then they are transported to a different place. So, there's a wonderful piece. I think the Koch Vayar said it. I think the Torah Savarim also talks about it on the Eitz Sahara. And when we think about the Eitz Sahara, certainly we learn Musar, and this is, I know Rabbi Taggart very much talks about the parallel connections of learning from Chavetz Chaim to Birchas HaTorah, and there are strong parallels, and certainly Musar, I would imagine, certainly is one of those parallels in terms of working on yourself and looking in the mirror and having a very honest discussion about where do I have to go and how do I have to improve. So the word Yetzirah certainly comes up a lot in the Musar Sfarim. And we imagine, and we think, if we think about what comes to mind when we hear the words Yetzirah, That little voice in the morning that says, roll over, press the snooze button, you know, it's okay, you're down by the Kaisel this morning, not the one down there, but the one, you know, near the room over here, you know. And you know, sometimes a voice will say, it's okay, don't worry about it, because I'm not looking right now, so I'll do something maybe I'm not so proud of. But we have different shames. We know that. The HR is never at rest. That we know for sure. But there's maybe another dimension, not maybe, there's another dimension that he brings out. I believe Verbitzel is the first one who wrote about it. He brings out this concept, a really fascinating concept. One that certainly, as we are approaching Parshas Yisro, and certainly hearing the entire process of Kabbalah Satayr, and hopefully getting into the messages of this incredible event that took place in the year 2448, one that still today stands as the defining moment of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the sole event that reflects that love and reflects that unique relationship. So he says that there's another dimension when you talk about the Eitz Hara. And he quotes a Gemara. It's a Gemara that talks about when does the Yetzer Hara start within a person. And different opinions. One opinion says that while the child, the fetus, is developing in its embryonic sac, the Yetzer Hara starts right then and there. And he asks, what's going on there? Well, what is going on? Where in the embryonic sac is there a Yetzer Hara? Okay, there's no smartphones in the embryonic sac. Okay, there's no the technology. There's no social media. There's no Fortnite. I don't, like, what, you know, there's what exactly is going on there that the Yetzer Hara is manifesting us of? What's the actually, we have one guy who is committed. It's sad in a way. Hope he doesn't hear this tape. But it's sad that he thinks that maybe, who knows, he might be successful, but he is going straight to professional gaming. He's not going to his college. He's going straight to become a professional gamer. Who knows? Listen, he should make millions of dollars and donate a lot to Birchas HaTorah and Valley Torah, and we'll be okay. But so we're living in a crazy world, Lamaisa. But the point is, where's the Yetzer Hara? What's going on within the mother's womb? And he says a Gevaliga thing. And he says, what's the big excitement when the mother's pregnant and everything is going well, and all of a sudden, you know, she calls over the husband, or she calls over maybe the other children. Do you want to feel the baby kicking? Want to feel the baby kicking? Come. And you feel the baby's kicking. That's one of the events that sort of, you know, defines the pregnancy, that Baruch Hashem, things are moving along nicely. The baby's kicking. And he asks, what's shot in the baby kicking? What's that happening? What's happening? What's that indicative of? And he says, what's indicative of is an injection of a certain attitude that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into every single person. and we are born with it. We fight it. Or maybe we don't throughout our lives. But that attitude, I want to get out. The idea that I'm kicking is an idea that says I want to spread my wings. Get me out of this confined area. I want to be free. I want to be able to spread my wings and fly and do what I want, when I want, and how I want. And he says, incredibly, when the baby is born and that the sort of when it finally has the opportunity, what do infants do? They basically tell you two things that they want and they need. They tell you when they need to be changed, and they tell you when they need to be fed. And when a baby gets a little bit older and it gets solid food, when it likes the food, it eats it. When it doesn't, it takes the cottage cheese and throws it against the wall and says, it's not for me. I don't want it. And when it gets a little bit older, it tells you about my birthday presents and what I need and what I want. And certainly the teenage years that some of you are just now moving away from. We know those years where the asserting of one's independence, it reaches a crescendo, and I want my keys, I want my, you know, I want my car, I want my license, and I want my freedom. And no, I don't want a curfew. Don't give me any curfews. Let me fly. And even when we get older, it doesn't really stop. Even when we get older, we have to be really careful and listen, not just to other people who say things like this, but maybe sometimes even us. We are even within the framework of the Avodas Hashem that we do. Is it a complete focus and commitment on the Ratzon Hashem? Or is there something about the fact that I will decide to choose which mitzvahs sort of become my mitzvahs, and which mitzvahs I might look the other way and sort of put by the wayside because, I don't know, they don't sort of feel so comfortable with me. I don't really get that one. And therefore, we're not so fully buying in. Are we really ready to say Nasiv Nishma? Is that who we are? Are we really a Nasiv Nishma people? Or are we people who, you know, they decide, and a lot of times we do things out of morality? It's like a incredible Rebbe Leibowitz, who's my Rebbe's Rebbe, founded the Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim back in the 30s. And he said, he pointed out, Vatirena Hamyaldus Esselakim. He pointed out that the midwives, the great Shifra and Pua, Miriam and Yocheved, they did not allow the babies to die, they saved the babies. But Vatirena Hamyaldus Esselakim, they feared God. And Vatachayela Esselakim. So he asked the question, what exactly is going on here? I mean, this is a big deal that women. Shifra and Pua's caliber, these women didn't kill the babies? How many women could kill babies? Let's say if you took a random poll and put them in this situation and said, again, you know, you're a midwife. Okay, if a girl, let her live. If it's a baby, chop its head off. How many people could do that? So like, what exactly is a big yichus about Vatarena HaMeldes Ezelkim when most women, based on their natural feminine instincts and motherly instincts, could not kill babies? So a lot of people, maybe some people would have done it, but certainly a lot of people would not have done it. Does it take a level of a shifra and a pua to reach this level? He said a beautiful idea that, again, I think feeds into this very, very important theme of a complete understanding that it's not about me. This is really the galus of Nasiv Nishma, the obliteration of that ego that says, I need to do it my way. The obliteration of the ego that says, I'm in charge. The destruction of the mentality that sort of says, you know, this, I will determine my fate or my decision making. And yes, we do have Bechir. No question, we have Bechir, and that's why we get credit for every decision that we make, proper or improper. We sort of have to deal with the consequences in either direction. But the idea that when we have this challenge, but the greatness of what Shifra and Pua did was that they rooted their natural moral instincts into Yiras Shamayim. It wasn't based on a morality. You know, a lot of us are, we're nice guys. No, so a nice guy does nice things. So you know, a lot of times we actually think that's even like such a nice guy. He was born with the most beautiful midos. I have to tell you honestly. And again, this is based on what Musa says is that, you know, it's great to be born with wonderful midos. But if you're born with wonderful midos and you haven't advanced from your wonderful midos one iota, but you sort of naturally put on cruise control based on the way you were born, and somebody else maybe was born with some tougher midos and has different issues but worked on those issues, well, if you worked on those issues, certainly when you work on them from the vantage point of, I'm a Yid, I'm an Eved Hashem, I have a Torah. The Torah says, "Vowachta bedrachov." The Torah says you have to follow Kadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Mahu rachma fatorachum. Mahu chana fatorchana. Aram Avinu, whose chesed wasn't based on a natural love of humanity, the natural love will take you so far. Now we know Nebuchadnezzar, Germany was also known to have a moral, you know, compass. But that moral compass, the minute it goes off in some direction because you're taken off in some horrific way to something very perverse, we know where it can go. But if you're rooted in Vatirena Amialdas Solakim, it's rooted in Yerushalayim. It's rooted in my understanding that every decision that I make, the first question that I have to ask, and maybe the only question that I have to ask, what does Hakadosh Baruch Hu want? What does he want from me? What does he want me to do in this situation? I am completely giving myself over to Kadosh Baruch Hu's will. That's the goal, and that was the godless. And that's a Megillah Rozeh. Basically, collectively, at one incredible moment in time, I don't know how long it lasted, because we were not that easy in the Midbar. We had some rough patches. But at least for that one moment in time, collectively, Klal Yisrael came to the complete realization, okay, when the heavens opened up in that moment where Kadosh Baruch Hu said Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I guess before he said Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that Klal Yisrael said, we are completely not in charge. I mean completely, from the depths of our hearts, we know it with every fiber of our being, that I have completely given over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's in charge. And when we are able to live that way, we're able to live without the sort of the ego and the emotions and all types of cheshbonos getting in the way, when we can reach our level, especially in the area of Torah. Because, you know, again, Torah is a fascinating thing. When we can, you know, there's motivations in terms of ego gets into Torah too. Because there's such a thing called Torah Sholoshma. And then nothing wrong, the Gemara says, we talk Sholoshma Bolishma. So if the only reason why we love learning right now is because we love the Rebbe's, you know, positive validation of us, he loves our kashis, and we love outsmarting the guy next to us, and we outdo our chavrusis, okay, it's not the highest level, but okay, it's a good place to start. But when a person gets to that highest level, I'm learning Torah, and this is what Rava was able to do. That's why this Tzaduki had no shaychus to understanding what Rava was doing. Rava, the Amma Paziza, it's an Amma of clarity. It's Tumas Yisharim Tanchem. It's the Yashus of Klal Yisrael that is able to see the truth, able to see what it is that Torah is about, what it is that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about. He loves us. He loves us so much, and because he loves us so much, how can I not commit fully to him? How can I not embrace the Torah in its totality? How can I be that person who picks and chooses, which is what a lot of people do? It's sad. I know a lot of people, when we're on a journey and we're growing, so you do have to, you know, pick certain things. But at a certain point in time, Baruch Hashem, and you guys are serious B'nai Torah, you're the future leaders of Klal Yisrael, and certainly you know that what's demanded of us, and it's hard because we have that natural, you know, kind of need to sort of self-assert. We want that. But we have to do it. Well, somebody once spoke in Valley Torah, he says, you can be Jewish and you can be huge. You get a whole drush like that. You can, when you are completely committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not taking the you away. The you is you. You are you. You are unique. Your DNA is unique. Your style is unique. Your personality is unique. And you will bring your brand of Yiddishkeit to the world. So don't worry about the fact that, you know, is it going to be done tomorrow? It'll be done your way. But in terms of the mitzvot, in terms of Avodas Hashem, in terms of the concept of sort of not being completely ready to accept whatever the Torah says. You know, I remember see an example way back. Remember we were talking about Mashiach and some discussions back in the yeshiva days, back in Queens. And like, you know, so we have a vision of what Mashiach looks like. And what happens if Mashiach comes and he doesn't look like the way we think he's going to look? And probably the way we think he's going to look is probably how we look. Okay, we're comfortable with a certain type of Yiddishkeit, and that's fine. I mean, that's how we dress, and that's how we look, and that's how. What happens becomes very different. What happens if you're really a real Ashkenazi and it comes looking like a Sephardi, or you're Sephardi and it comes down looking like an Ashkenazi, or like whatever it might be, like, you know, am I coming along for the ride? Am I? Well, again, especially when intellectual, when you think about it, of course. What does it matter? He's Mashiach. He's representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's here to take us to the promised land. Baruch Hashem, you're here already. But for us in America, he's gonna schlep us back to Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, we'll have the clarity of we'll have that moment. But if we're sort of deciding it and choosing it based on our own desires, our own wants, our own comfort level, then it becomes a little dangerous. And again, as I said, especially when it comes to the realm of Torah. Torah is something that when we can be completely given over to it, and especially when it comes, and just one other additional point is in terms of Kabbalah HaTorah, and obviously with Kabbalah HaTorah comes not just the Matan Torah, but the acceptance of Torah, the Limud HaTorah. You know, just very quickly, Yisro, we're reading Parshas Yisro, and Yisro gave Moshe great advice. But in Devarim, we get the other end of the story. In Devarim, what happens, Moshe Rabbeinu gives Tochacha to Klai Yisrael, and he says to them, and Rashi explains the Pasuk when Moshe Rabbeinu was giving that Tochacha at the beginning of the Devarim, and he says, you know, when Yisrael came to me with that advice, and I presented that advice to you, you guys liked it. And you never should have liked it, says Rashi, explains Rashi. Rashi says, you took the matter for a benefit to you. You figure that you can bribe a lower level judge, you can bribe a Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously you knew you couldn't bribe. So you were happy with it. But what you should have said, says Rashi, an incredible line that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klai Yisrael based on Rashi's pshat. He says to Klai Yisrael, you should have demanded to learn Torah from me. You should not have accepted the idea, and you shouldn't have been just complacent. Yeah, fine, you want to set up a whole judicial system with Sari Allah from Shermel, that's fine. No problem, Moshe Rabbeinu. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said no problem. You should have said big problem. You should have said, Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to learn Torah from you. Why should we want to learn Torah from you? So Rashi gives the answer. Incredible reason why Klai Yisrael should have wanted to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, because I was mitzayer over the Torah. That's what Rashi says. Because I was mitzayer over the Torah. I saw this Rashi years ago. That's the reason why we should want to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. The fact that he learned Mipi Agvur, that he had HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Chavrusa. The fact that he lived in the angelic celestial heights, and he was exposed to the Nigla Nistar of the deepest depths of the entire universe. Maybe that's a good reason. Maybe the fact that he was the greatest Navi in the history of Klai Yisrael, that might be a pretty good reason. The reason why you should learn from me is because I was mitzayer, because of the 40 days and 40 nights I didn't eat and I didn't drink. That's the reason. Seems like you're missing the boat, Moshe Rabbeinu. And apparently Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't missing the boat. I think Moshe Rabbeinu was the way Rashi explains it, was telling us an incredible insight that even you might be Moshe Rabbeinu. And you might have learned with HaKadosh Baruch, and you might have the insights of Paraduma that even Shaul Melech couldn't master. But the one thing that I have that's even greater than that is I pained myself. I was Moshe Nefesh for Torah. I push myself. And again, that pushing and that yigia and that commitment can only come when you're learning it mamash lishma. When you're learning it for no other reason. It's not about my glory, not about my shame dover, that people are going to like my pshat and the Rebbe's going to say it over. It's about the fact I'm learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us his gift, the Torah that we responded, Nasa Vinishma, the Torah that's rooted in such love for who we are and what we can be, and giving us the keys and the answers to the entire universe. That's why I'm learning. And when you can do that, and you're Maisa Nefesh for that, you push yourself for that, that is the greatest accomplishment. And that has the power. And I'll just end. You know, Rebbe that we had discussed of hearing from Rebbe about 15 years ago. And he left Eretz Yisrael to visit LA. I'm not sure why he came, but once he was there, we asked him to say a shmooze. He said a shmooze in the yeshiva in the Beis Medrash in Valley Torah, and he said over, very interesting, he said that I heard the shmooze with my fellow Tamidim, I think it was in Gateshead, I think it was in England, and he said, I heard it from the mouth of Rabbi Elul Apian, the great Mashkiach, Rabbi Elul Apian, who was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, and he said over the shmooze, and we were so moved by this shmooze, he says, we didn't sleep the entire night. We could not sleep that night. So what was the shmooze? And I'll say very quickly, he said, the shmooze was a Nefesh Chaim. The entire shmooze was simply giving over the words of the Nefesh Chaim. And he says, the Nefesh Chaim says like this, you have two seemingly disconnected events. You've got this young man in Berlin who's taking his wife to the hospital to give birth. You've got this young man, an 18-year-old kid, a yeshiva bacher in Tvinsk or somewhere in Siberia or Lithuania, 500 miles away. Two simultaneous events going on that have apparently no connection to one another. And he brings his wife into the delivery room. The doctor takes the wife. Everything, you know, hopefully is going okay. This fellow's coming home. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. He's coming home from a wedding. And this fellow made a Kabbalah on Yom Kippur that every single day this year, 5 minutes before I go to sleep, I'm going to learn Torah. My day is going to end through learning. 5 minutes. So he comes home, he plots his head down on the pillow, he doesn't even remember, he's so tired, he's so exhausted from this chasana, and he, you know, curls up with the pillow, with the cover, it's so geschmack, puts his head down, he's about to fall into a deep slumber. Oh my gosh, my 5 minutes. I gotta do my 5 minutes. And the Yetzer, of course, says, come on, you'll do it tomorrow, just snuggle in, it's okay, don't worry about it. And he starts with the inner turmoil. In Berlin, the doctor comes out. He says, I don't know what's happening, but there's internal bleeding. I'm not sure your wife is going to make it. I'm not sure your child is going to make it. And these two things are happening at the same time, says the Nefesh HaChaim. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin. I can't say for sure it's the Nefesh HaChaim, but this is a quote from Chaim Volozhin. And he says like this. He says, it seems totally disconnected. But when that young man says, you know what? I made a commitment. I'm going to get up. He puts the light back on. He learns his 5 minutes. Don't ask me how, don't ask me why, but the Hisakaba Raisu Bora Alma Kadosh Baruch Hu wove the Kedush and the power of Torah into the world, with that schus, that Torah, that Yigiyah, that willingness to put myself out like that, to get out of bed, to put that light on, and to push myself for those 5 minutes, and the ability to be transported to Berlin. And a doctor comes out and he says, I don't know what happened, but your wife, the bleeding stopped, your wife is great, she's fine, and you're the proud father of a baby boy. And what is he? All he knows is he's in jubilation. He has no idea that the schus and the power of that Torah is what saved that family. And he says even further, after 120 years, the Yeshiva Bach will get up to Shemaim after 120 years, and this is your life, and he'll start showing his wonderful life in Siberia, there in Russia, in Lithuania, and all of a sudden, towards the end of the video, the videotape of his whole life, he'll start seeing Jews in Germany, and he says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out. This is Yael Me'emes over here. I can't lie. Somebody must have messed up with the splicing of the video because I didn't ever went to Germany. And I don't know who these people are. So I don't know what you're talking about over here with this thing. So I don't mind the credit, but I don't deserve it. It's Yael Me'emes. I got to be truthful. I don't deserve this. And they'll answer, no. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because that family, this family, you saved. Your Torah saved that family. And he says, therefore, the schus of what that family does, Doris, goes back to you. This is the power of Torah. This is what we're celebrating. This is why when you have this clarity, but Hashem, we need to develop it and keep this clarity on a day-by-day basis, hour by hour, minute by minute, to be able to live this life, this Rava's Amma Paziza. We're not an Amma Paziza. We are a very deep and probing and analytical nation. But we know truth when we see it, Bez Hashem. And we're able to, and we, when we're given it, we embrace it, Bez Hashem. And that's what we did in Matan Torah. We said Nasav Nishma, we articulated the essence of what a Jew needs to be. Total commitment, total buy-in. All in, as they say. All in. So Bez Hashem, you're in a place which is all in. They're committed to you in the greatest way possible. And we should respond. You guys should just keep going and growing. And go Michael Chayil, this chus of your Torah, this chus of the Torah of Klai, so we should be zaycha to be a Sam Hashem. May it be made.
Amen.